Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Novo Resources. I'm chatting with the president and chairman, Quentin Henny. Now, Quentin, a lot of questions have come in since our last interview that was about mid-April. Let's take all of these questions pretty much head on the back of also the news that just broke today of Novo closing that financing, over-allotted financing for $26.4 million Canadian. Now, Quentin, a lot of the questions I got in really dealt with production estimates, production updates. I realize that production at Beaton's Creek is still very new. You guys are still in the ramp-up phase, but what insights can you give us in terms of forecasts moving forward and production updates so far in this first period of mining here at Beaton's?
Yeah, certainly, Corey. Look, the first forecast we are likely to issue will be once we're completed with ramp up. We'll say roughly mid-year, late June, early July, something like that. Things are progressing well during the ramp up. They've, as we put out in our recent news release, they've got the mill running very efficiently at this point. The mining is coming together. They've tried different techniques, and they're starting to focus in on the best techniques. They've been doing a lot of stripping of areas and opening up new areas, particularly like Ranch Hill and so forth, which are going to provide a lot of the feed for the next few years. These are all important things, and it is truly ramp-up phase. So, you know, throwing out forecasts right this second is not, you know, in the best interest of everyone. You know, we're doing a good job, and we'll get to that point and be able to present a very meaningful picture around mid-year.
So, Quentin, any insights, and I know this might be tough, but a lot of questions, too, regarding dilution percentage at Beaton's Creek and head grade. Any insights you can give us on here and how the tinkering is going?
Sure. Yeah, look, we are anticipating mining this fairly aggressively. I'll start there. Gold price is up. The mill is definitely capable of treating a lot of rock, and there's no reason why we shouldn't mine aggressively. What that translates to at site is let's figure out the best, most efficient way to get as many tons over to that mill as possible while maintaining grade. Okay, now the first mining they did, this is a brand new style of deposit in Australia. There's no company to my knowledge that's mined flat deposits like this. You know, it sounds very simple, but when you're, you know, imagine if you're standing on a floor and you have to mine what's immediately underneath the floor, you really can't see it, you know, from that vantage. You know it's underneath you, but you don't know exactly how much, say, overburden is left on top of the deposit and so forth. All right, but the guys have figured it out. We've developed some very good visual grade control protocols recently that have helped minimize dilution. The guys started with different techniques that were probably seeing significant dilution, but they've got their mining techniques down to, you know, much less dilution right now. You know, probably 40-50% would be my guess, but that's not really a hard quantitative number. I think we can achieve lower than that over time. I don't see any reason why not as they develop the proper protocols. One of the things that we have been challenged with, and I've talked about this on other interviews I've done recently, is getting grade control assays back. That has probably been the biggest headache we've had. We had, you know, we've used Chrysos technique, which is a new photon assay technique, fully commercial. A lot of companies in Australia are jumping on it. It was developed by CSIRO, which is an Australian governmental organization, but it's now gone commercial, and we use it. The catch is there is very limited capacity for Chrysos machines at this time. There's only like two operating in the country. Now that is increasing very soon here. There's another, I think, two machines that are being installed, and we are on the verge of having a path to get assays caught up or grade control assays caught up so that when we're mining, we have better resolution on what is ore and what's not. Okay, that's that has been a headache. So it's really hard to quantify dilution when we don't have 100% of the data we need. Right now, we have maybe half of the grade control assays that we need. We're going to rectify that, and then we'll be able to talk about it more concretely once we get some hard data back.
Now, what about the balance between what's feeding the mill here, combined with tailings and that fresh Beaton's Creek material? Some people have said, we just don't know the grade of these tailings, and that could cause some of this grade discrepancy. Any insights here?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's meant by tailings. I think what people are saying is, early on, we did process some residual tailings from our trial mine a few years ago. Perhaps that's what they mean. I don't know. But that was way back in February, I believe. So, you know, we're way past that. What we're treating right now is basically the rock that's coming out of the ground. We are mining oxide first, you know, so the word you use there, fresh. Look, we have not started mining fresh rock yet. That's part of the mine plan going forward, but it's not being mined right this second. So I want to make sure that's clear. Everybody must know we're mining the oxide parts of this deposit, the near surface, you know, say within 20 meters or so of surface, oxide parts of the deposit first, and then say a year and a half or two down the road, we will be tackling the fresh rock.
Thank you for asking that or answering that. I'll follow up with that listener to just clarify regarding that fresh ore. Are you aware of any amounts of acid that could affect the tailings permit process or any of the mining that goes into that fresh ore?
You know, it's funny. We're one of the few companies that actually kind of lay it out there and explain that, you know, we're permitting the fresh rock. Every mine does, though. I mean, if you look at any gold mine on planet Earth, once you get down into fresh rock, there is pyrite associated with it. So you must permit the fresh rock. In particular, you've got to explain to governmental organization what you're going to do to encapsulate the fresh rock. Pyrite, if it's exposed to rain and so forth, will generate acid. It's true for any gold mine on the planet. Okay, this is standard procedure for anyone. We have the oxide permits right now. We need to demonstrate how we're going to encapsulate and make sure that acid is not formed as we mine the fresh rock. It is very simple procedure to explain how we're going to encapsulate it. Usually what you do is you put a liner down to some sort of clay material, and then you cover the sulfide-bearing material with oxide material. We have to, you know, basically demonstrate that through an application to the government, and that's how we seek our permit. It's true for any gold mine. You know, to make any big deal about fresh rock is somebody just waving their arms and trying to make a big deal out of nothing, quite frankly.
Okay, yeah, so there's still that work that you guys are working on, but you are aware of this and, well, moving it forward. This is not out of the ordinary. Let's move on to a couple questions on that capital raise. I know you've already addressed it as to why the company didn't sell any of the newfound gold shares, but can you just please reiterate why raise the money and not offload some of those shares and also reduce that Sprott debt facility? Can you explain why the decision was made there?
Yeah, look, the newfound shares are, most of them are in escrow still. I can't remember the exact percentage that are not, but it's small. It would not have gone to cover this. Now, the other issue is that the Sprott lending facility has a covenant in it that if we raise capital, say through selling equities or something, they can sweep that cash and it goes directly towards payment of the debt. That's not what we're aiming to do here. We're aiming to do the work that was recommended to us in that PEA that was published. So, you know, to sell shares and then just see it go towards paying off the debt, right now at least, is not an ideal outcome. We need to be able to do the resource upgrade drilling that we've talked about and the other work that was recommended in the PEA.
Now, were these recommendations in the PEA more than you expected? Because some people were wondering, why not raise money earlier to address some of this extra work that you could have expected?
You know, it's the first draft of the PEA came to us I can't remember exactly the date, but it was a week or so before we decided to raise money. Basically, is what triggered the need to raise money. We recognized that there were some pretty heavy lifting items, you know, cash-wise, in that recommendation that we needed to start pursuing. These, we suspected we might need some to do some of this work, but we didn't realize the schedule needed to be bumped up so much. So, you know, what we thought maybe we could cover out of cash flow over the next 9, 12 months, something like that, or at least start to, it suddenly became much more urgent. So we decided to get, you know, to minimize the risk to the project and our ability to proceed. We decided to raise the money now so we can get on with this work. Part of that work, or part of that money, by the way, will go towards building a site prep facility at Beaton's Creek, and then also gaining access to more Chrysos capacity. So there's a lot of stuff going in the background that we have immediate capital needs that we need to address.
Okay, let's continue to look forward here, because that's where everybody, I think, should be focused now. In terms of this money now in the door, what's the capital strategy for the next, let's say, 12 months? I realize there's a lot of variables there with the whole mining ramp up, but give us some insights of what investors can expect then capital-wise.
Okay, I would say over the next 2 or 3 months, say by mid-year, we should be in a position where we are seeing revenue coming out of the project. That's very good. But we do have heavy spend to meet all those recommendations, particularly the resource expansion drilling that we discuss. You know, if you look at the use of proceeds, I think over half of the money that we just raised is going to go towards that kind of work. That also includes, like I said, the need for a prep facility at site, as well as getting contract in place for more Chrysos analyses. And we got to have an assurance we can get that done. The problem with that technique is everybody and their brother lined up at the door as soon as they open that access to that laboratory. It's a great technique, and it's ideal for us at Beaton's, but we had to kind of push our way through. And I think here soon we'll be able to tell the market exactly how we're going to make sure we have that kind of access. Now, as far as going forward, look, we are going to be drilling this thing heavily, just like the PEA recommends, over the next 9 to 12 months. Okay, that is going to help us upgrade the resource. So this is going to be a capital intensive period. That said, we anticipate the mine itself, the mine contributing cash as we get through ramp up and we get to a point where we're generating free cash flow out of the operation. So there's a balance there. I'd say by late June, we will be able to present to the market again guidance and forecast around details like that.
Okay, so that's really month and a half, 2 months max, because we are already in May here. Quentin, any insights then in terms of how many meters need to get drilled here at Beaton's Creek on the back of that PEA and the balance between RC and diamond drilling?
Yeah, first of all of this is going to be RC drilling. What we found, and this works exceptionally well, is the RC drilling, reverse circulation drilling, generates very good samples. Okay, you've got holes that are going to be anywhere from, say, 20 up to maybe 100 meters deep. The sampling that we're doing is on half-meter intervals, all right? So every half-meter of RC hole generates something like 20 kilo of material. We then take a split of that. We take 10 kilos, ship it to the prep facility. They then crush it and then take 10 500-gram splits from that. So we basically assay through using Chrysos. We assay half of the sample that's taken off site. We analyze 5 kilograms in total. It's phenomenal data. It gives us great resolution. We now see that is the highest quality data and the most appropriate data for this project. So we've decided to be very aggressive here, drill this thing on 20 by 20 meter centers. That will help us upgrade the resource. It'll also, where we're near mining, for example, it'll also help us with grade control, obviously. But we plan on doing this work over the next year or so. So to put it in context, 20 by 20 meter drilling, if you drill a square kilometer, that's 50 by 50. Okay, you know, 20 goes into 1,000 50 times. All right, so 1 square kilometer is something like 2,500 holes. At average depths, maybe 40, 50 meters average, you can see we got a lot of drilling to do. We've probably got about 2.5 or 3 square kilometers of area to cover. So, you know, I can't do the math straight off the top of my head, but we're talking about tens of thousands of samples and meters.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a lot of drilling. Carrying this over to some of the other projects, when you do or if you do decide to move into a production scenario, are you worried that you're going to need to undertake this kind of work as well at some of the other, let's say, Karratha or Egina?
Look, at Karratha, it's clear that trying to do grade control drilling is very challenging. At Karratha, because we're using mechanical sorting, we actually envision using the sorter itself as a means of grade control. In other words, as you put fresh rock that you're mining through the sorter, you will see an immediate outcome. The concentrate that's produced gives you a proxy, an indication of how much gold is in the rock. So at Karratha, it's going to be a bit of a different process. You know, we'll say less conventional than Beaton's Creek. That exercise is going to start in a couple of months. Part of the proceeds that we've just raised will go to allowing us to tackle that. You know, it's one of many things we want to tackle, but that is certainly on the schedule, and we're looking forward to getting that going.
Okay. Quentin, I'll get you out of here after one more question here, and this really steps away from what's going on at Beaton's Creek and everything. It dates back to a couple news releases in 2020 talking about bulk excavation and field mechanical sorting tests at Comet Well. The estimate was that the program would start Q2 of this year, subject to approvals. Where does the company stand in terms of getting back on Comet Well with these approvals?
That's exactly what I was just referring to. Look, we do anticipate getting that project started sometime later this quarter. We're into the second quarter, obviously. This cash will allow us to have a little bit more bandwidth. It's always, conservative time when you're in ramp up. You want to make sure you get through ramp up. But as the ability to, or the prospects of getting this going are much clearer now, I think we'll be able to get that project going. The one challenge, though, Corey, I got to say, in Australia right now, I shouldn't say one challenge, but the biggest challenge is people. Finding people to do a lot of these jobs in Western Australia, in particular, is very challenging. COVID has aggravated that even more because Western Australia is really not letting people in and out, even from other states in Australia. So, they don't have. With the commodity boom right now, they don't have enough people to do all these jobs. We do think we have some individuals who can run that part of the program for us, and we are looking to ramp that up. But it's been a challenge. I got to say, every day, you got to count your lucky stars. You have the team you do. We have a very good team, but you also got to make sure you motivate them to stick with and pull this off. It's hard to compete with iron ore companies and things like this when iron ore is $170 a ton, But look, we're very fortunate. We got a dedicated team. Rob's done an excellent job putting them together. It built a very good culture down there. It's a team that really wants to see this unique style of deposit be successful. And I'm grateful every day I wake up that we have that team.
All right, Quentin, I appreciate answering all of those questions. I'll give you a couple minutes here to just speak to all the investors. What do you want to leave them with, understanding as this company continues to progress?
Okay, let's talk about ramp up first. Most of the items that we're seeing in ramp up, the things that you have to work through, are pretty standard. Okay, developing your particular style of mining, we're getting there. I'm seeing that come together. The mill operation, it's getting there. What's the average recovery? It's probably in the low 90s right now, but it'll probably crawl up as time goes on, get to the 95% mark, which is what we're kind of targeting here. Other things, trucking the rock over to the mill, that's starting to come together more and more smoothly as time goes on. The laboratory issue is probably our biggest headache and was probably the most unexpected. We thought we had an assurance that we would get these grade control assays back from the laboratory we had contracted. They gave us priority, but then everybody rocked up with hey, we'll pay you 50% more if you treat our samples first. Pretty soon we were getting shoved down the line. It's not been pleasant. I'm rather unhappy about it, and it was very unexpected, and it's caused problems. That is the one thing we have been working on aggressively to address right now. We've got our own prep facility going in at Beaton's Creek right now, and very shortly we'll be able to talk about how we're going to gain more access to laboratory capacity. And I think it'll give me a great deal of comfort, as well as I hope our investors, because you got to understand, mining is a challenge, and there's things like this that pop up that are really unexpected. You got to manage them, but we are. So the ramp up stage as we get. So what people have to understand is when you're ramping up, a lot of the activity that's going on initially in terms of mining is to kind of prep and pre-strip areas. We had to start mining that back area on the what we call the Edwards Block on the far back side of the deposit, because that's where our dedicated waste piles are going to go. They've largely mined that area out. I think there's still a little bit they're moving, but it cleared the area out so that we could start stripping waste from other areas, in particular places like Grants Hill. The bulk of the highest grade material that we're going to access over the next few months is coming from areas that they're currently stripping down. Grants Hill, they have, I think, two reefs above the M1 and M2. I can't remember the numbers. I think there's M0 and the U1, I believe they are, that are lower grade. Yep, you know, that's the way they are. They're trying to mine those as quickly as possible to get them out of the way and also get the waste rock off. But then once they get down to the M1 and the M2, that's where the grades are. Okay, so we'll see that by late May. We'll see that material kick in, and that's going to then allow us, you know, by late June, once we get our teeth into that, to start making forecasts and things like we talked about at the very beginning. You know, this is just the way mining works. Right now, we're kind of nibbling away, trying to get everything, organized for a long-term mine. And much of the effort is simply pre-stripping.
All right. Hey, Quentin, really appreciate you taking all of these questions. Everybody, keep on sending me your questions, fleck@kereport.com. I'll keep getting Quentin to address those, and hopefully this answered all of those questions, because there were a lot that came in on the back of our last interview. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources, and I'm going to keep bringing you back on, Quentin, as this story just continues to advance and develop. Thank you for your time, Quentin. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Cord. Take care.